Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Earlier this month, Newcastle County Executive Marcus Henry's budget address offered some sour fiscal news for the state's largest county. Henry says the county faces a $42 million deficit, and to fill it, he's proposing a 17.2% property tax increase, along with budget cuts and a hiring freeze. Earlier this week, I sat down with Marcus Henry to discuss Newcastle County's fiscal health and his budget proposal.
We're talking about the budget and a deficit you're trying to overcome.
Yes.
So let's start with how we got to this point. Several elements involved, but I want to start with a couple that perhaps could have been controlled. You noted in your budget address that one-time federal relief funds were used to cover recurring operating expenses, and reserves have been used to fund permanent costs. How much did these two factors, specifically to the deficit issue the county is facing right now?
Well, unfortunately, quite a bit, but also just escalation of some of our contracts. Salaries and benefits are the largest cost to the county. So we have escalation in terms of what's collectively bargained with our unions, and that's part of that as well. But just to be clear, there's nothing wrong with using federal relief funds to help alleviate some of the operational cost. The issue is that we've been in deficit spending before I got into office for several years now. And once those federal relief dollars were no longer available to us, we had to look at ways to offset that deficit spending.
So using those federal relief funds and also dipping into reserves, I mean, it does to kind of kick the can down the road, doesn't it?
Which is what we're trying to avoid
right. In
doing this tax increase and doing this restructuring of our county government.
So how much of those issues, like kicking it down the road issues, fall on your predecessor, the current governor, Matt Meyer, and the, you know, the previous county councils that signed on to that type of approach?
Well, I mean, to be honest, quite a bit. There were certain decisions that were made that are concerning to me looking at it in retrospect. One of them being not just with the federal relief dollars, but there was an increase back in 2024 for the police salary compensation that was paid for out of tax stabilization reserve funds, which is not something you typically do to pay for operational expense. So that was like $8.5-9 million that came on to the operational budget when I took office, along with all the other increases that we've seen.
And also, your predecessor did create a one-time 5% tax credit in 2024 as well. That probably, in hindsight, didn't help the situation.
Didn't help at all, unfortunately. And it was almost, I think, about $6 million.
So there were other factors at work that you mentioned as well. One of them was this first property reassessment in 40 years, court ordered. The county kept its promise of being revenue neutral, didn't bring any additional revenue in from it. But I guess the thing that also was a factor that maybe people didn't think about was the cost of conducting it
right. Seemed
to prove more costly and actually now is going to require some ongoing costs.
Yes, yes. And part of it, too, is the scaling up of the staffing in the assessment office, having the procedures and things in place to deal with the fact that it hadn't been 40 years. That put a tremendous amount of strain on our assessment office. So scale up that staffing, deal with the logistics of just all the refunds, appeals, what have you, that the staff, I think, has done an incredible job dealing with. And also, you know, I'm happy to say we're scaling up the staffing over the last few months, and we'll continue to do that to meet this demand. The takeaway, though, for me, the main takeaway is you can't wait 40 years to do reassessment. That creates some of the issues that we experience right now. But I think the good news is that this helps us stabilize in terms of the property values of both commercial and residential so that the next reassessment should be much, much easier process for the public and for us.
Is there a sense of how much that wound up costing that you mentioned, the staffing up and just getting everything done and dealing with the appeals and things like that?
Well, there's a set aside, I believe, of about $20 million specific just to the reassessment itself. But we've gone $1.4 million in additional expense related to reassessment. Also, with the litigation the county was in, along with the school district, the school district, along with the county, was sued with regard to using a split tax rate. So settling that litigation, some of the additional requirements placed on Newcastle County on the billing that affected both the county billing and we bill on behalf of the school district. So that additional expense, it's actually over $2 million, $2.5 million all in of additional expense.
So we've talked about a lot of different things here. It's almost like a perfect storm of a lot of little things
adding
up.
A horrible storm, I would say.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. But there's also just the current state of the economy and inflation,
sure.
that maybe just kind of complicates things even more.
Yeah, in the county, I mean, historically, we've been absorbing inflationary increases in our operational cost. We have not been passed that on to our constituents. That's something, you know, I think could have been looked at in the past in terms of maybe doing small incremental tax increases or adjustment in cost annualized would have helped the position we're in right now. This has been a long time coming. And unfortunately, under my administration, I'm dealing with that. But to me, it's to deal with it responsibly to cure this structural deficit that we're in so that we can create sustainability long-term for our county operations.
So let's move to that part.
Sure.
How to attack this deficit mm-hmm. long-term. One piece, obviously, has drawn probably the most attention is the proposed property tax increase, 17.2%. How did you land on that number? What does that number signify in terms of getting the job done?
The number, quite frankly, is the exact amount we needed to cover the delta of this current budget. We had already reduced about $18.5 million off of this FY27 budget for reducing our operational expense. Coupled that with the 17.2 is exactly what we needed to balance this budget. We're still going to have difficulties in the near future, but it helps us stabilize things. But also, the need to work with the General Assembly on looking at diversification in terms of the revenue and sources of revenue that fund county operations.
And I know it's a tough ask at this point because of all the anger over reassessment. Obviously, a lot of the reassessment piece of things goes to the school taxes. That's not the county part of it, but you're wrapped up in that. How difficult is it to go out there and say to people, we need this 17.2%. We know you're already dealing with this. A lot of people are going to say, like, well, this is just unacceptable to me.
I understand that. I have a heck of a lot of empathy for those folks, especially seniors or those on fixed incomes. That's one of the things we're looking at is making sure we market and talk about specifically the various credits that are available to them, exemptions, to help them. But what I bear in mind is a couple of things. 69 cents of every county dollar spent towards public safety-related activities, primarily policing, but also 911 paramedic services that are critical to life safety in New Castle County. That's where these funds are going for. And then we look at the actual median household and the actual cost per household. It's a little less than $9 a month for this tax increase we're talking about. It's not a lot of money for some folks. I know some people we're going to try to work to help them. But I think it's reasonable in terms of the level of service New Castle County provides, especially in public safety, to ask for this now and to be reasonable about this.
You mentioned trying to help those who are going to have problems with this. Mm-hmm. Beyond kind of the already existing credits, mm-hmm. are you looking for other ways to perhaps provide relief to people who need it?
We're going to look at some legislative initiatives that we'll work with council on, potentially look at that. Also, I think long term, we can also work with the General Assembly because, as we mentioned, 81% of the bill is actually school districts, i.e. state, 19% the county. So if we can look at some coordinated relief, I think it'd be helpful to both the county and the state looking at those relief packages.
So looking at it like holistically for the taxpayer,
yes.
That you're going to help them with the school side
yes.
and the county side.
One of the challenges, though, is we have, unfortunately, an antiquated billing system, which we're in the process of upgrading. And I think that'll help us in the future to help alleviate some of these concerns.
Another piece of this whole puzzle has been, as you've alluded to, cutting spending to deal with this. What are some of the, maybe the major areas that you've found savings to help bridge this gap?
Well, we looked at, I think it was like 56 or 57 positions, back office positions that we've defunded, meaning that they're not funded, including salary or benefits. In the future, the financial picture improves, we can put those positions back online. But right now, they're defunded. We reduced a lot of our special events, unfortunately, that I know a lot of folks enjoy. Reduce those special events because they're a pretty big cost to the county in terms of policing and public works activities. But we've also looked at savings in various areas in terms of efficiencies in the operations of our government. So this is $18.5 million. This hurts. The concern I had, one of the things I really wanted to focus on was maintaining service delivery, maintain the level of service delivery in county government. So that's why we're strategic in terms of those cuts, but also being very specific about the amount of the tax increase.
You mentioned public safety. Are there some other areas in terms of services that you were
sure.
particularly focused on preserving as best you could?
Paramedics, making sure we're staffing up paramedics, making sure we're staffing up our 911 operators, making sure that their salary structure is commensurate with the work that they're doing. One of the unfortunate realities we're having in emergency management systems in general is we have an aging population in that area, a lot of retirements over the last few years. Actually, a lot of retirements across the board in various departments of county government. So it's making sure that we hire, but also we train, and we don't lose that institutional knowledge that is lost when we lose that age workforce.
You mentioned the positions that are defunded, what people have called a hiring freeze, can you tell us a little bit about what kind of positions those are? Like, which are the ones that are being defunded? You know, what is the loss there? I guess
a lot of back office type positions, administrative type duties at various departments. Look, it hurts, but it's not something where it's public facing. It's not of a critical nature with respect to our operations. But it does make things more difficult in terms of our current staffing levels and the workload that a lot of our staff are doing across various departments. We all share this burden in county government. My office does, all our various departments do. So the hope is that we cure this structural deficit, we right-size things in terms of revenue so that we could staff up in the near future to alleviate some of these concerns. But right now we had to do this.
Was there any consideration of layoffs or salary cuts in this process?
I was against that because, one, we're collectively bargaining. About 84% of our workforce is unionized, and these are contracts that were negotiated. And I feel that there was a way to do this without layoffs. And I want to be fair to our county employees. They did not ask for this. They've been hardworking. I did not want to do this on the back of our employees.
You also mentioned public safety and the fact that that's a priority for you. Was there any discussion for looking for some savings there, even minimal ones, or was that just kind of a non-starter for you?
No, we have looked at some savings specifically in overtime and some other areas around public safety, policing in general. But when I ran for office, one of the things that was very important to me was to make sure we restore morale in the police department, that they're performing well, that they have strong leadership, and that I thought it was really a shame that they hadn't been close to their full authorized force in almost 10 years. I'm happy to say after this police graduating class that graduated last week, it's 40 new officers that still have to go through a level of training. We'll be closer just at our full authorized level for the first time in 10 years. That means more cops on the street and patrol. And I think it just makes everybody feel safer, especially in this climate we're dealing with right now.
I was going to say, that is probably, of all the things that the county provides, that is probably the corest of the core services.
Yeah, 415 authorized force with respect to police patrolling 500 square miles of unincorporated Newcastle County, but also with jurisdictional agreements with other municipalities like Wilmington and Newark and Middletown. So it's a coordinated effort, and with the state police too, I should say. Mm-hmm. It's also important to mention that paramedic services, emergency services in southern Newcastle County increased the service level of county operations to service southern Newcastle County was important to me as well. And this budget helps in that regard.
One of the areas I think that people will notice some of the cutbacks in is with libraries. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to go on with libraries, at least in the short term with this budget?
Sure. And I actually came from running libraries, my previous positions with county government. I love our libraries. They're nationally recognized in terms of their performance. What we're only talking about is closing one extra day a week. But that does mean that we'll have a library open somewhere within Newcastle County every day of the week. We're just changing the public-facing opportunities for the public to come in the libraries. It's just reducing the operational expense by closing one day. But you'll always have a library available to you Monday through Sunday.
I bring it up because I've been having these conversations about libraries recently. Yeah. Sussex County is looking at raising its library tax because they're dealing with what the state librarian, Annie Norman, said was kind of this, be careful what you wish for type of thing. They got a lot of money to expand and build, and now the operation of it has become more expensive. Is that something that you think about a lot in terms of going forward, how to make sure you can maintain the libraries with these kind of additional costs that have been brought on board?
Sure, and it's not a new issue for us. We've been dealing with that for some time. I think Sussex and other jurisdictions are seeing some of the expense now more than ever. For us, it's an important service we provide the public, not just books, but just these are community hubs and resources for people. And they're critically important because they're free. These are free services available to people. We're doing a public good here in terms of county government, and that public good has a cost to it. I think people are okay paying for libraries. I think people are okay paying for police and all these other initiatives. because these are the core of what the county government does. I do have to mention a big part of this, too, which is not a fun subject, but something that's necessary, is wastewater sewer treatment. This is hundreds of millions of dollars in operational and capital investment Newcastle County is responsible for. We have wastewater sewer treatment agreement with the city of Wilmington, for example, but also sewer expansion that may happen in unincorporated Newcastle County is the county responsibility. So when growth needs to happen, be it residential growth, commercial growth, new sewer capacity and sewer investment is responsible to the county government. Well, guess what? There's a cost to that. But people want their toilets to flush. They want these services. They want the water to run the correct way. They want it treated the right way.
They want it to be clean.
They want it to be clean. And that's too critically important right now, honestly. And that's part of this budget, too, though.
When you were looking at the cut side of things, was there one thing for you personally that was particularly painful to say, yeah, we got to do that?
Some of the special events. I think we're looking at least for right now, Sleep Under the Stars, one of my favorite events that we have. There's just no way we can do that under the current budget climate. We'll look at other special events in the future. We're going to see what events we could keep or curtail, like scale them down a little bit. But that's where people kind of see directly their county tax dollars at work, and they enjoy these or family fun, safe events. I don't like cutting any of these, but I'd rather, unfortunately, do that than lay off somebody or cut salaries. I think we could do both, and that hurts. But also, you know, our employees have worked so hard through my administration, through past administrations, and I think, unfortunately, just through social media, sometimes through the press, they've been blamed unfairly in terms of things that have transpired with county government. I want to make sure their morale is good and they felt supported by my administration, by me directly.
Is that particularly in terms of reassessment?
Yes, especially in reassessment. I mean, look, folks are going to do what they're directed to do. They work very hard, do the best they can. But if you're understaffed, stressed, not given the resources, these things happen. It's not an excuse. That's why it's important to me have strong leadership. I have a new CFO in Dave Del Grande, a veteran who's done a heck of a job. He has great staff under him. And what I'm so proud of Dave is that he's restored that morale. And people, I mean, that's important in doing the day-to-day work, and I'm so happy with his performance to date.
Assuming all these things are approved by County Council, how far will it take Newcastle County towards solving the structural budget issues? Could we be back here next year having a similar conversation?
I'm going to work my hardest not to, to avoid that. I think it's a we have to be intentional, we, Newcastle County, working on our structural issues, working with the General Assembly. We need to create new diversified revenue for the level of service Newcastle County provides. We provide more direct service with respect to the public than Kent and Sussex does. We're just a different type of government. Well, there's a cost to that. We need to look at ways that we can get reimbursed for those levels of service, dealing with policing, dealing with wastewater sewer treatment, dealing with all these things we've talked about. We're a large government, and I think we deserve and mandate consideration of those services and getting reciprocated for it through revenue.
Is there a one or two of those diversification things that you are prioritizing when you go down to Dover and talk to the General Assembly?
Yeah, right now we're looking at specific cost recovery for some of the expenses related to the extra expenses related to reassessment. But I think one thing we do want to do long term is we actually, you know, and you know this, we collect the billing on behalf of the school districts. I think there's a way we can look at this where either we don't do that and the school districts take on that function, or there's some kind of cost allocation that we can get reciprocated for that service. I would lean more towards the school districts doing their own billing. I think that would help.
In an op-ed you recently penned, we'll finish with this, you said, after 14 months in office, I've learned something that every honest leader eventually confronts. Sometimes the responsible decision and the popular decision are not the same thing. Do you think about all the implications this approach could have for you, specifically 2 years from now when you're back up for election?
Yes, but let me say it like this. I didn't run for office just to worry about my reelection. I came into office to fix these things in county government. I knew we'd be facing some challenges. If I do the best job I can and I help this government stabilize and all these services expand, like affordable housing and economic development and responsible land use, if I accomplish all these, if for whatever reason I don't get reelected, I'm okay. I'm not going to like it. I want to get reelected like anybody else. But, you know, you have to – this is public service. Mm-hmm. This is public service. And I have to be frank, I think some elected officials fail to realize that. I think about that every day I wake up. Every day I wake up, am I putting my best foot forward? And if I say yes, and I can look at my kids and my wife and they see that, I'm working very hard to make this the right way.
Are you optimistic that it will look better in 2 years? And are you optimistic?
Oh, less than that. No, we'll be fine. We'll be okay.
And are you optimistic with?
I'm an optimistic person, and I know what I'm doing, and I have great staff to know what they're doing. We're actively figuring this out. We'll figure this out.
And with county council, do you feel optimistic that your relationship with county council is going to work?
I believe so. We have some work to do, but they're reasonable people. We just have to work together. And some of them have been around for years. They understand this process as well. Work together, solve problems. That's what people elect us for. And that's what we're going to do.
Thanks to Newcastle County Executive Marcus Henry for joining us on The Green this week. Henry will hold 4 town hall meetings on his budget proposal. The first is Tuesday, April 7th at the Appaquinimink Library. Dates and times for the others are available at The Green's page at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, we learn more about the implications of a Court of Chancery judge's decision to reassign cases she was slated to hear involving Elon Musk in the wake of bias allegations. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.